Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, you have now just entered 4th Street. My name is Kobe.
I'm Charles, not Charlie.
I'm Charlie, not Charles.
Don't mix us up.
And Smooth Austin.
And we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and this is the 4th Street Sports Show. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show. I am your host, Kobe.
Charles, not Charlie.
Charlie, not Charles.
Do not mix us up.
And Smooth Austin.
And we are the 4th Street Sportsmen. Once again, we are live from our, in the comfort of our own homes due to us being on break right now. But this is our first show of the new year. New year, new us. Nah, I'm kidding, same us. Shout out to LaMelo Ball. But this is our first show of the new year. We were gonna do one, our last show for the for 2021, but things got in the way. But we're here for our first show of the new year, and we have a lot to talk about today. We have our Eagle Eye with our different sports, recapping sports that Southern Miss sports that happened in the past 2 weeks. Also, we have our debate section, which we'll be talking about with draft prospects in bowl games after some strong comments made from Kirk Herbstreit and the Sugar Bowl and the Sugar Bowl with Matt Corral from Ole Miss getting injured. Also, we will be giving our flowers though too for people who received honors in the past 2 weeks for Southern Miss, whether it's current or former athletes playing right now. So we will get into that right now. We will be getting into our Eagle Eye. Austin, take it away.
Hey, before I take it away, guys, I think we got to do something special for this New Year's episode, you know? First episode of 2022. We are live. We flourishing. 4th Street is on the rise, guys. Before we get into this Eagle Eye, I just got to ask, man, you know, give me a recap of 2021 for you. And if you can remember just one sports moment in Southern Miss history, well, just one sports moment in 2021, that was a memorable moment for you. Could you guys tell it? You know what I'm saying? Just on this year.
Well, obviously we all have the Alabama memory, but specifically, I really like to see the soccer win, clinching that first division title. I was riding, taking pictures for it, and I just remember their emotions after winning. Alisi Campos just went on the ground, just like spread out, because it was a physical fight. I just remember the motions. It was just like great. Nobody on that team had experienced that before, and they were doing something they knew Southern Miss had never done before.
Yeah, I gotta say, I love repping that soccer squad. I think that they had a phenomenal season, and they've got lots of great soccer to come moving forward as the seasons go on, as well as the youth of that squad continues to develop. So definitely a lot going on for that team, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they can do moving forward as well.
Go ahead.
Say what you were about to say. Say what you were about to say.
Go ahead. I didn't have none. Go ahead.
All right. You said, all right, Southern Miss, of course, yeah, this soccer team. Shout out to Coach Moore and everybody. Definitely getting that, definitely winning that division. We lost a heartbreaker in the conference championship, but their run was really unprecedented this year, and they were really a positive in fall sports this year. And shout out to Coach Mo, shout out to Sam, shout out to PG, shout out to everybody over there on that side.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you guys that the soccer moment was definitely one of the most fun moments to have of experience. But I would say one of the most, well, I'm going to correct myself. The soccer moment was a memorable moment, you know, in Southern Miss history, being that was the first West Division title in, you know, program history and things of that matter, you know, going to the CUSA championship, losing by one to Old Dominion. But if I had like my most favorable moment, I think it was just watching Southern Miss baseball in the Super Regionals against Ole Miss, you know. Yep.
forgot that was 2021.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man, like, yeah. Honestly, like, just seeing Reed Trimble go off, man. I think he had, like, 9 home runs or something in that super regional. It was something. I forgot the exact number, man. I got to – it was a while ago. Forgive me, guys. But it was. Just remembering and Reed.
Reed Trimble for being in the Baltimore Orioles farm system now. Yeah. He's been doing
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that. Us and they had Ole Miss on their heels too.
Yes,
and that was a great moment as well too.
I think that was
that's something to look forward in 2022. They got that matchup coming again. Southern Miss will host them at Pete Taylor Park. That's going to be huge.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a memorable moment right there. Yeah. But I think just watching the baseball team and just seeing that season just progress. You know, you had Montenegro, man. I think one of the first games they played of that season was against UConn at the Pete Taylor. Mm-hmm. And, man, on the first pitch or so, he knocked it over for a home run, bro. And it was just, like, exhilarating on the first at-bat. You know, it was a home run. So just seeing, like, moments like that, I think the baseball season was one of the most memorable and fun times of the year, to be honest. And hopefully it's going to be like that in 2022. So I think baseball was definitely up there.
Me and our friend Demon Mixon, we looking forward to the baseball season this year. See what Coach Barry do and how they pick up from last year though too. But definitely, is Gabe. Absolutely. Gabe is back, right? Gabe Montenegro, he's back, right?
Yes.
Back,
right? Yes. Right. For like his 8th season now, but it's crazy, man. Hey,
you can't knock that Walker. Had 6 seasons, so Walker set his own record. So Gabe is back for one more time, and Southern Miss isn't complaining about that. So
nope, not at all.
I do want to give one more shout out to the Superbacks when they clicked at the end of the season. That was so much fun. I absolutely loved watching the Superbacks and seeing it take over the Southern Miss football fan culture. I mean, that took over overnight on Twitter, if you guys were paying attention to that sort of thing. But I absolutely loved when they clicked. It was such a fun squad to watch, seeing what they could do. They had that nice winning streak at the end of the season to close out the year. And I think that was one of the more memorable parts of 2021 for this year for Southern Miss as well.
Right. We saw Frank Gore Jr. at quarterback this year.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing him throw that 35-yarder. I think it was a 35-yard touchdown to Brownlee in the FIU game. And he threw 2 30-yard bombs, I think, in that game. A 35 and beyond bombs in that game, man. Just Frank Gore just being that quarterback. That's a memorable moment in Southern Miss history. You know?
I think he threw one in the La Tech game, too, as well.
Yeah. Oh, for over 30 yards, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, throw it up there, Brownlee, somewhere.
Yeah. He did go up there and get it.
That's also something, too, I'm going to bring up, too, before we Austin gets into Eagle Eye. Brownlee, the way that Brownlee pretty much turned the switch on toward the end of the season was very amazing, because we had a lot of high hopes for him going into the season. He started off slow, but in that last couple games he did, he turned it around, and he put up some good numbers, too. So, shout out to Jason Brownlee.
And I don't want to leave out that 2021 was also the birth year of 4th Street Sports. So,
yeah, that's true.
And going forward, we got a lot of things to grow on. And I'm going to make a grand reveal right here.
Oh, we got a surprise?
Yeah, we got our own shirts like for the squad. They will be debuted, I guess, in wear in our first in-person show of the semester, January 18th. So stay tuned for that.
Mark your calendars.
Yep. That shirt is clean. That shirt is clean, Charlie.
Well, yeah, I can't. My camera's backwards.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pretend like I'm shocked. Whoa, it's so crazy.
All right. So, but yeah, Austin, back to you with EY.
One more, Kobe, and then I'm gonna get back on topic. I just need one word, guys. I just need one word to describe 2021 for 4th Street. One word. What y'all got?
Well, 2021 in general, haze. Because, like, I totally forgot that baseball even happened in the year. But for Fourth Street, I would say, I don't want to say surreal. That sounds too basic. But I guess surreal. I don't know. Because it went from an idea to a working thing in such a short time. And it felt like we were just going through it. But then looking back on it, we did a lot of things. Like, we did a lot. So it was really cool.
Sure. I think that I'm going to change my answer. I initially said productive because we did do a lot of really amazing work and we got to do a lot of awesome reporting on stuff. But I think that gratifying is also a great word to describe what we've been doing in 2021. Just because it was so nice getting all the appreciation from the athletes, from the athletic department, and from all the coaches that we got to work with. So, I just think that was one of the reasons why I really love doing this sort of thing, because people are so appreciative of what we do.
Don't forget the fan support either, Charles.
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Sorry. Shout out to all the fans out there. You're the reasons why we get to keep doing this, because you guys keep tuning in. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
If I had to think of a word, I would say impactful. Now, we don't have a big audience like the OGs, like Inside, Southern Miss, and the Eagle Hour, and all of them. But us as students, we also students as well. If for the people who are not aware and listen to this for the first time, the fact that we were able to interview the people that we interviewed so far and pretty much have an impact. Because not only do I have people back home who listen to this podcast, a lot of people around school always come up to us and tell us that they listen to the podcast and said that they are fans of it as well. And also, kind of what Charles said, it was gratifying to have the people who we interview not on here though too, especially the athletes and coaches and everybody too. Also, we interviewed the AD and the legend and a Southern Miss legend this year. So, but yeah, so very, very impactful. And I already know 2022 is going to be even bigger than that though too, because we got something special for y'all. So.
I think that was special right there. I like what all of you guys said. But if I'm just, I guess it's basic a little bit, but I would just say transcending. I don't know, like, if that makes sense or not. But I would honestly say just everything that we've did, it's kind of exceeded my expectations as me, as a person, from all the things that we've done. From, you know, I know I reneged on it a lot, but the Alabama trip to South Alabama to, you know, talking to Coach McClain, AD McClain, you know, talking to a lot of the coaches, just, you know, like you said, Kobe, just talking with the other guys, like the athletes, and from the fan support, from everybody just buying in. It seems like everybody kind of helped along and supported us from day one when they didn't have, I mean, a lot of people didn't even have to do that for us, you know what I'm saying? And just for us to, you know, be able to maneuver around the campus and get love, like you said, Kobe, and like you said, Charlie and Charles, all of you guys said, so special, man, just transcending and just continuing to want that growth and be better than everybody else that does this, you know?
Yeah.
It's a competitive spirit.
And I think that we exceed, and I'm glad you brought up expectations. We did exceed our expectations for last year, because I remember when you brought this idea up, and we all kind of was thinking of ideas and all that stuff. The fact that we did get where we are in as short of a time, I think that it is transcending, as you said. So, but yeah, like I said, we got more stuff coming in 2022. We will not let our foot off the gas, and we will keep this going as well.
Facts.
Yeah. Sorry for the long diatribe for our past listeners though, but we ain't doing it. But we didn't do a show last week, so we had to get that out.
All right, I can do my job now, Kobe. I can do my job. I'm done,
right.
Guys.
Now you good. All right,
let's get in the Eagle Eye, right, guys. Right. Smooth Oz with you here today to give you some smooth facts. All right, smooth man, I'm done being corny. All right. All right, so just hopping into football, guys. You know, it's the off season basically. Guys are still preparing. Bowl season is virtually done. Is there? I don't think there's any more bowl games going on. Oh, are there?
Tonight,
the Texas Bowl.
Oh, my bad, man. My bad. I'm just ready for bowl season to be over. My bad. I'm sorry.
The big rematch with Alabama and Georgia.
That's the championship coming.
Yeah, that's basically like championship season. I'm talking about like bowl games, you know. Yeah.
LSU
a bowl.
Yeah, Texas Bowl. I think LSU plays. I think TC one of those schools. I forgot.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, bring it back up in a little bit, and we could predict that game. Matter of fact, and who's gonna win a national championship? But yeah, it's the offseason for Southern Miss football. It's been the offseason for about a month or two now, guys. But they brought in some more new faces and guys coming along the way. You know, we recently got past signing day, but Southern Miss brought in a SEC football transfer here, guys. His name is Armonius Cooley. He transfers from Mississippi State. He's a defensive tackle, 6'2", 305-pounder, pound defensive tackle. He earned All-State at Wayne County High School, which is his alumni, earning alum. You know, he's an alum of that, my bad. That's his alma mater. Earning 92 tackles with 7 sacks, 18 hurries, 10 tackles for a loss, and 2 pass deflections and 1 fumble recovery in his senior year. He really didn't get too much play time at Mississippi State. I don't think he got that much from what I was looking for and looking on some stats on him and stuff like that. But from what people are saying, he's a great athlete, and a lot of people, you know, seen him down at Wayne County and say he was a special talent there. And he's coming to Southern Miss now. Hopefully he can add something to that defensive line. You know, you got guys leaving, like you got Eric Kitchens and Ty Sykes moving on. So it's going to be a lot of new faces on the defensive line, and you got a lot of veteran guys leaving. Also, he's a famous guy in the Hattiesburg area, and maybe the state of Mississippi too. I don't know, but in the Pine Belt area, he's a famous guy, and he's noted for being a special athlete, a two-sport athlete at that. Oak Grove star John Rice Plumlee has decided to enter the transfer portal from Ole Miss. And his options are open from rumors and things that people are saying. Some people are saying the University of Central Florida, UCF, is where he may be headed. Now, a lot of people want him to come to Southern Miss, you know, and speculate that, you know, it'll be a reunion. He'll be a big guy on campus, you know. Oak Grove star coming to back to Hattiesburg, you know, and picking up where he started at, you know. That'll be special. Two-sport athlete, as I say, he was a star at Oak Grove. He did actually two sports at Ole Miss too, baseball and football, but he's decided to go in a different direction. So we'll be looking into where John Rice Plumlee ends up. Now, Central Florida is where people are saying. I only take those things at face value because a guy decision can sway. So we'll have to see. Southern Miss is definitely Southern Miss fan base is definitely excited about this, that he may be coming back to Hattiesburg. So that'll be something to be looking at. But yeah, that's all I got, guys. Back to you guys.
I just want to add on that situation. Per Ben Garrett of On3 wrote that the destinations included UCF and Indiana, which we actually saw Miles Brennan being recruited by. Those are the schools that are actively recruiting, and Garrett also includes that they're open to keeping that two-sport destination. And I think what makes this so attractive is just obviously Coach Hall's connection with Mississippi players, and then Southern Miss as a prestigious school in baseball. So it is definitely, I think Southern Miss fans are high on a transfer quarterback after the Brennan hype. So we'll have to keep our eyes on it.
Yeah. And the thing about this though, I don't want to say that Plumlee plays quarterback here. You know, he may end up playing, I know he, in his last couple of seasons, he played a little bit of wide receiver at Ole Miss. He played, and I think he may have got some snaps at running back. I'm not too sure, but his main goal is to play quarterback. But he's played at other positions, so who knows?
Yeah, UCF and Indiana are recruiting, Garrett says, for quarterback. His quarterback stats, really just that 1 year that he played quarterback, got to throw passes, 85 of 158 yards. I mean, 158 attempts for 5 touchdowns, 3 picks. Really not that much. Obviously, his stardom came from in 2019. I believe he ran for 12 touchdowns. So he's got some legs. He has some firepower to him. But moving on to women's basketball, we'll go to the sports that are happening or are not happening so much. We've seen some problems on with COVID, but women's actually got to play a little bit over this break, but they fall into 8-5 after dropping their first two conference matchups on the road. They fell to Western Kentucky first, 98-88 last Thursday. Despite a season high in points, they also allowed a season high on defense. Malia Grayson led the Golden Eagles with a career high of 24 points, also adding 10 rebounds for a double-double. And 5 different Lady Eagles scored in different double figures, with Destiny Smith also recording a career high with 15. Brekayla Gray added 15 as well. Daisha Allman went for 13, and Dominique Davis went for 12 points. And then they had a quick turnaround as they traveled to West Virginia to take on Marshall, falling 72-55 on New Year's Day. The Lady Eagles lost momentum and at the end of the second half, second quarter, falling on a 20-2 run that they just couldn't overcome. And they're returning to action this Thursday at the Reed Green Coliseum for the first time in nearly a month. They're taking on UTSA at 6 p.m., and they were supposed to take on UTEP Saturday, but news came out today that that game will be postponed. No immediate date has been decided for when it will be rescheduled, but it's being postponed due to COVID problems within the minor program.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's – and. As we'll see, it's not just a problem with women's basketball. Kobe, what do you have on men's?
Oh, I think you mean me, sir. And on the men's basketball side, Charlie, since you so politely asked me to talk about it, we got a little bit more rough as its first conference games were postponed due to COVID-19 concerns within the program. Instead of facing Western Kentucky and Marshall at home, the Golden Eagles instead will face UTSA on the road this Thursday at 7 p.m. and then face UTEP on Saturday. They will look to break a 6-game losing streak. UTSA is 6-7 on the year, and UTEP is 7-6 right now. So, I mean, it's looking like those could be some winnable games, if you ask me. But then again, I don't know. We shall see.
Going to Andrew Abadie's comment today from media availability, Coach Ladner said he was concerned about the conditioning of some of the team's players as they're out unable to practice due to COVID issues within the program, and especially going on these road matchups, conference matchups. That's a factor to play in. You're already on a 6-game losing streak with injury problems. You don't want to skid down any further. Last year, that 9-game losing streak set a record in for a couple years. I can't remember how long, but it could be headed in that direction if things don't turn around this week.
And we did briefly discuss the previous episode, that losing streak that's been happening. And the COVID thing coming back into rear its nasty little head, that's definitely throwing things off for this team as well. So hopefully they'll be able to bounce back in a meaningful way as they play against UTSA and the UTEP.
Yeah, wishing for their health and safety, especially the coaches too.
Yeah, definitely wishing for health and safety. And I just hope, man, we can get some basketball back soon, man. I'm just saying, man. It's a lot of games getting canceled. Yes, we do have the ladies playing on Thursday, and hopefully they can bounce back after this 2-game skid in conference play so far. And I don't know, man. I just want basketball back, man. You know? Just want it back.
Yeah. Basketball, like pretty much around the country right now, has pretty much been COVID protocols. That's all. That's pretty much been the story, though. So,
yeah.
Which we could go ahead and talk about right now if we want to move into our debate. We were kind of going to talk about that whole situation. We mentioned it in our last episode, kind of foreshadowing it. It was pretty easy to foreshadow because we saw what was happening in the pros. Mm-hmm. But this is a whole different ball game, pun intended, because you see NBA players who haven't played in years are getting 10-day contracts. Unless we got some people at the Payne Center wanting to sign up, play for Southern Miss basketball, I don't know what's going to happen if COVID breaks out like this. What do y'all think?
I mean, it's already out here, bro.
It's
canceling a lot of games. But yeah, unlike that NBA basketball, I mean, you know, just professional basketball, those guys can bring up anybody. You know, it's a plethora of, you know, pro athletes out there from all across the country. And, you know, you got the G League and you got some guys from overseas who might get pulled in or something. But it's pretty tough in college basketball. I think you're going to have to, you know, continue to cancel some games, or we may, if it continues to go like this with this Omicron variant, and it continues to spread, I just honestly feel, man, we might see the NCAA tournament getting canceled or going back to 2020. It's not. I'm saying that I don't want to be dramatic, guys. You know, but we could see this happen. But
pretty much,
basketball is if not the most important sport for college athletics, because of the money that March Madness brings in. When I remember our professor, Dr. Croft, was telling us the money. Can't remember the exact figures, but March Madness makes them a bunch of money. And losing that money that one year when the pandemic shut it down was devastating. And the NCAA is still reeling from that. So that would be an absolute last case scenario. But I guess the positive, if there's any positives about this, is just the player safety. They understand more about it now, doctors, coaches. You know, we all understand more about the virus now. And from what I've heard, from what scientists have said, is that people are getting less sick from this variant. So, and also they've shortened quarantine or isolation periods. So people are getting it at a higher rate, but it isn't harming people, knock on wood, as much as previous variants were.
Yeah, that's true.
And also remember, it is flu season too. It is getting to around that. So not only COVID, but flu season. But pretty much, to go off what Austin said, though, it won't be a lot of walk-ons coming onto the floor. It's not going to be a lot of picking up guys off the street and all that stuff off campus like the pros is, pretty much. But it's gonna lead to more postponement, canceling games. I still remember COVID year when they had to cancel the ACC tournament, and they pretty much awarded Florida State the championship. So who knows? And plus, I'm thinking last year Baylor and Gonzaga, the whole Final Four last year, I think it was pretty much limited. So we could see that again. But I don't know what's gonna happen with it in the future.
Which, I mean, this has been basically our whole or half of our college time at college, COVID, right? But just think for this coaching staff. I'm just gonna say it outright. We were talking about it before the season. Talked to coach about it. You know, there were questions, concerns after two losing seasons that this was the year to turn it around. And now that it doesn't look like it's heading in that direction, fans are visibly upset about it. But just think about it, you know, with the inconsistencies just with these last two seasons dealing with COVID, is it really fair? I don't want to make any excuses, but you do have to think about just the inconsistencies with not having players or not having full practices does for a team. Because when you're in this pit already, how do you turn around when you had players out with flu earlier this season? Then you have your top performing player go out the season with an injury, and then you have all these COVID problems. It's just, it almost seems cursed, really, this season.
Yeah, I honestly thought this season would, you know, just looking from a, I guess I was looking from a fan standpoint more than anything. Thought the season was going to be better than what it has been. But just to go back to your question, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, 3 years is all you get to show whether you're a good coach or not. And I'm not calling for the man's job at all, but I mean, he has to turn something around pretty, pretty soon in these last, at least in this conference. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just saying from a business standpoint, it's you got to get the job done regardless of the circumstance. So that's just what I'm saying. And I mean, I can't be and just judging the team and all that. You got, you know, all the things. You got the Tay Hardy injuries. You got these guys missing. You got all the cancellation of the game. It's hard to get in rhythm, but you know, as a coach and a collegiate coach at that, and you know, you've been doing this for X amount of years, and even just the team, you know, just not speaking on Jay Ladner, period. But I think that, you know, you got to get the job done. You know, you can't use excuses. You know, it's hard to say that. I mean, those things are true, but you got to get the job done regardless. Yeah.
And like I said too, I think he realizes that. I know I think he know that seat hot. I know he sees that chip on his shoulder. And like I said, I think that this is right now. This is the time to turn it around, because that's the thing. We love the non-conference games and all that, but Austin, Charles, Charlie, y'all watch sports. Y'all know the division games are the most important. You don't even care what people's records look like when it's division games, conference games, district games. Shout out to the high school. You know it's a different time. So I think he realizes that. I think he is, even though they have had some problems earlier this year, not only with the COVID and the sick thing, and they were losing a lot. I think that right now this is the time for them to turn it around. I think they could do it pretty much. So
yeah, I just see it as a very unfortunate situation, but it is one of those situations where, yeah, like Austin said, it's just business. You know, the program's going to do what the program has to do to, you know, compete, especially with things turning around for a new conference. You know, the school's going to want this program to be at its best spot that it can be, even with the circumstances these last 2 years. But that's no easy test, what Kobe, you're just saying. They've got really tough opponents coming up, but we wish them the best health.
Yep.
And we'll see how they do.
Yep. All right. So that has been our Eagle Eye. Now we go into our debate section. And honestly, I've kind of been waiting for this episode to kind of get this all, because as Austin said, we are still in bowl season. This January 1st was actually the most active time when you could watch college football, because January 31st, you had the semifinal games for the college football playoff. And then January 1st are the best bowl games you could watch, from the Outback Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Citrus Bowl. So that was a big weekend that we just had on New Year's and New Year's Day. But we have to get into what makes me bring up this question is Kirk Herbstreit. If y'all watch College Game Day, analyst, former player from Ohio State, he made some comments on players opting out. And he pretty much said, isn't this what we do as football players? We compete. I don't know if changing it, expanding it is going to change anything. I really don't, Herbstreit said. I think the era player just doesn't love football. And when he said that, he pretty much caused a lot of I wouldn't say controversy, but it was backlash. He had a lot of backlash from them statements, pretty much saying that he was trying to figure out why players do it, and why do these, if it's not the college football playoff, why these games kind of meaningless and all that stuff. I think, and that led me to this question too. And that led me to this question. Should highly touted draft prospects play in bowl games, or should they have the option to sit out and get ready for the draft and avoid injury? No,
when you ask this question, you say, should they play in bowl games? Are you asking it should be mandatory for them to play, or should it specify that question just a little bit more?
You pretty much got it right. Should it be mandatory? Should they have to play in these games instead of having the option to sit out? Because also before you answer that question, another reason, not only the Kirk Herbstreit thing, but Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral, who is considered the number two draft prospect, well, for quarterbacks in the draft this year, he had got injured he sprained his ankle against Baylor in the Sugar Bowl game.
It was his knee, I believe. I thought it was his knee.
You can't remember which one, but let's just say it could have been a lot more serious, and yes, it wasn't. And that, before we answer that question, this was kind of a turning point in the debate because it all happened in that same day. Herbstreit said that, and I remember on the game cast, they were just talking about Matt Corral coming back, playing, this is why he's doing it, and bam, first quarter, goes out with an injury, looks like it could have been something serious. Mm-hmm. They said it doesn't look like it's going to impact his draft stock because he should be fine. But still, that's a scary moment, and that kind of made I had an opinion on it, and I still do. But that just made me realize, you know, we've been saying all these things. Herbstreit and Desmond Howard made some points, and lots of people agreed with them, including me. But also, as a player, you put yourself at risk every time you go out on the field. And point is, you know, football, it revolves around money now. College football is entering a new landscape with NIL deals and just the amount of money that revolves. And let's just be honest, I was getting on to in the office about coaches doing the same thing just weeks forward. You know, that sets a precedent too. Not saying that any of those players that did opt out had coaches that left, but still, it sets a precedent in the landscape of college football that you take care of yourself, especially when your next decision is making, instead of, you know, chump change with NIL deals, you're going to be making a lot more. So setting that priority is important too.
I think you hit it on the nose with taking care of yourself. I think in college football, you got to understand, it's just a holding. I'll just be honest. College football is a holding ground for those who have that aspiration or do have that chance to go play football, you know, on the highest level in the professional league. And I think we have to understand that as fans, you only get these players for, let's say, a guy that's a projected draft pick when he first comes to college. You know, you can see that talent. For a guy like that, you may only get him for those 3 years or those, you know, for that X amount of time before he goes to the NFL. And I think people have to understand that. And I think as fans, you know, you have to understand that this guy is going to do what's best for him. This young man is going to do what's best for him at the end of the day. And whether that he feels that he has to play in a bowl game and he has that gratitude for his university, he can do that. But you can also have, I feel like where Kirk Herbstreit missed the point was that saying that these guys don't love football. How can you tell a young man that he doesn't love football when you don't see the actual time that he put into that sport? You didn't see how long that he was, you know, how long he was in the gym working on his, you know, craft, or how long he was in there lifting weights, you know? And doing all of these things. I think from Kirk Herbstreit's point, it was just a terrible take just to tell a man he doesn't love football when that's all he's done since the age of, you know, him growing up. Now, it's a different age, and I think that Kirk Herbstreit and other guys have to understand that younger guys had more freedom than them, whether they like to admit it or not. And I think that's where the thing comes into the play where Kirk Herbstreit and them, they basically, I feel like they didn't have that option, you know, or say as much as young guys do now. And you got the social media and you got all these things. Yeah, they could be distractions. I can agree with Curb History on that part, that they can be distractions, like some of the things that he pointed out. But for him to say that these young athletes don't love the sport, that was just a terrible take. But I say at the end of the day, look out for yourself, because it's been so many other older guys who've admitted to, you know, certain injuries that they've had, and they went out there and played, and how it ended their career before they really had a chance to go pro or any of those things. I think that, you know, these younger guys are listening to these older people who've had these injuries or career ended, you know, or something of that matter, and be like, yeah, I've enjoyed my time at this university, but the goal is not just to be at this university. It's to better myself and to be a professional. And I'm not going to risk any chance of that by, you know, playing this bowl game or potentially injuring myself. Thankfully, Matt Corral's injury wasn't as bad, you know, and hopefully he'll come back on his feet stronger. And, you know, the x-rays came back negative or whatever. So hopefully I don't tell one guy just to sit out. I feel like it's his decision. You know what I'm saying? But if he feels that he should sit out, I feel like people have to respect that. And for a Curb History to come at a young man and tell them that you don't love football, that's just like absurd. You don't love football because you decided not to, you know, play in this game. You know, I feel like that guy, you know, analyzing it, that guy loves football more because he's taking the time out to say, hey, I love this game, and I'm not going to risk my chance of losing this game by playing in this game. I want to move on to the next level and better myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that nobody analyzed it that way. Like, hey, I want to better myself. I want to move on to the next level. I love the game that much that I want to move on to the next level, and I don't want to risk my chance at injuring myself because I love this game so much, and move on and play in something. And we got to just be honest, bowl games are meaningless. Like, it's no incentive to play in these games. Why make a guy or want a guy to play in a game where it's meaningless, you know?
Charles, you got anything?
Yeah.
Well, I got
this week, y'all.
Well, okay. So I guess I'm in a minority here when I say that I think that it should be optional, but I think they should be strongly encouraged, because you got to want to be there for your team, man. I mean, you helped that squad to get to this point. It can make you that much greater if you have some iconic performance at this bowl game, which will make you look that much better to someone who potentially wants to scout you and draft you. I know that, well, first of all, it's tough to follow up what Austin said, because what Austin said was absolutely beautiful and so well-crafted and so passionate. And meanwhile, I'm just like, well, I think that they should be there for the team. But I mean, if I was in a position where I was a prospect that I was going to get drafted, I would want to have that one last great moment with my teammates that I grew and, you know, formed a bond and brotherhood with for one last game, you know. But that's me. And you know, Austin brought up good points about wanting to stay healthy and maybe get some reps in, maybe go to a couple of training camps with some professional teams, you know. But if I was in a position where I was able to compete, I would compete. I think that I would do that. But again, that's me. And I'm not an athlete. I don't have like the crazy mentality of an athlete. I am loyal to a T to anything that I'm involved with. So I guess my perspective would be completely different from somebody else's perspective. I think it's based purely on what the player should want to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. I will try to not make this long-winded, but I've been thinking about this since the whole.
You got a little echo right there. Am I tweaking? I don't mean to cut you off, Kobe. But
My bad. Is it my bad? Y'all hear? Am I straight now?
Yeah, you good, bro? I was like, whoa, that's kind of creepy, bro.
All right. My bad on that.
Sound like a supervillain over there, man.
All right, my bad. I will try not to make this long-winded because I have been thinking about this a lot. But I do agree with most of y'all said, Charles. I do agree with you on the part that if you're a senior and you've been riding with these guys for 4 years, you've been these people you come to know, and y'all built this great bond and great program. I get that. And trust me, I've seen a lot. I've seen Johnny Manziel, RG3. They had some great performances in these bowl games before getting drafted to these teams. I think about that, and I'm like, I agree with you. I agree with that part. But they shouldn't be forced, or they should be called out and say that they don't love football. Because when I saw his comments and I heard his comments, I thought of one person. And Austin, you know this name that I'm about to mention because you were a Cowboys fan. Mr. Jalen Smith. He was a top five. He was considered a top five linebacker out of Notre Dame. He was going to be top five in the draft. And he ended up going in the second round because he played in the Outback Bowl against Ohio State. And he ended up tearing his ACL and his LCL. And his draft stock plummeted. Now he could have had the option to stay in to play in this game, or he could have had the option to opt out. But he had that option. But that's the huge risk of playing in these games if it's not a championship game. And now we're at four games now. We had the semifinals, and then of course we have the championship game. But I don't think that they should be called out like that, because as soon as I saw the Matt Corral thing, a lot of people said, this is why they're opting out. And we had a lot of big prospects opting out, like Kenny Pickett, Kayvon Thibodeau.
And then Walker.
Yeah, him. And then we had some people like Malik Olave. Willis. Yeah, Olave and Wilson that played. And then you had some people like Malik Willis who played in it from Liberty, quarterback from out of Liberty that played. But I really don't think that it should be antagonized for opting out of these games, because like Charlie said, these coaches don't get antagonized for that. Because LSU was playing Kansas State tonight in the Texas Bowl, and Brian Kelly is not going to be on that sideline coaching. It's going to be a defensive coordinator or something like that. So if players are going to be called out for that, the coaches need to be called out for it too. Because Lincoln Riley, I don't even think he coached USC or Oklahoma.
No, he didn't.
In either of them games. So I don't get why. And I feel like they put a lot on college players to take the higher road and be professional. And if you do something for yourself, you're considered selfish. I remember when Tim Tebow said these NIL deals and these money deals were selfish because it wasn't helping. So, but to wrap it up, because I don't want to be long-winded, I think that they shouldn't be mandated or mandatory to play in any of these games if they don't want to. If you're looking out for your health and you're looking out for your draft status and everything, sit out. Oh, also another person, John Metchie, he just tore his ACL in the SEC championship game. And that's something else that happened too. He could have opted out too, but that was a more championship feel though too. But yeah, to be long-winded, they shouldn't be mandated or mandatory. And honestly, they shouldn't be set. And also they shouldn't say that they don't love the game because they want to opt out and not playing these lower level bowl games. So,
I'm just going to just bring this up too, because it's been a debate that's been going on now, but just the college football playoffs right now. What are y'all thoughts? You know, Cincinnati lost to Alabama. I forgot the, what was it, 27-6, I believe. And then you had Michigan versus Georgia, where Michigan lost to Georgia 34-11. I'm thinking I'm getting these scores right. I can't remember, but they were both blowouts, and we saw the games and stuff for that matter. But I was actually kind of happy. I was glad for Cincinnati for them getting in for the group of five. Mm-hmm. And I thought they played an okay game. They just didn't have a offense worth anything to get that defense off the field. But going to my point, college football playoffs, should it expand or should it not? Or should it move to the BCS, back to the BCS type of ordeal where we had the two best teams, where you match up the two best teams, the number one and the number two, and they play each other? Or should it stay at the four teams? Or should we simply expand to 12 or 16 or eight? In my opinion, I think it should expand to 12. But I'll let y'all go and express yourselves. What y'all think?
All right, let me start this off, and then I'm going to pass it back off. It should never go back to the BCS, because I remember when LSU beat Ohio State in the championship game, and the number one team were losing every week, and you couldn't, and you didn't know who the number one thing was. It should never go back to that. I think it should stay with the college football playoff format, but I think they should up it to eight. I think they should up it to eight, because
why only eight, though?
Well, I thought of the Elite Eight. March Madness type thing.
I got you, bro.
I thought Elite Eight March Madness thing, where you literally taking eight of the best teams. But honestly, if you do that, the committee needs to start taking Group of Five series. I know that Cincinnati, they had a bad game against Alabama. Alabama is one of the top tier teams, but Cincinnati, you can't take away from what Cincinnati did, because they beat Notre Dame, who they put in the top four every single year. And I know this because I'm a Notre Dame fan. I like watching Notre Dame play. But if you expand it, you got to start taking these Group of Five teams seriously. Don't rule out that, oh, they shouldn't be in here because they lost to Alabama and all that. That doesn't take away from what they did this season. Desmond Ridder in Cincinnati had a great year this year. So, because I'm thinking about that too, because if Southern Miss goes undefeated next year, whether it's in the Sun Belt or the Conference USA, they deserve a top five spot. Top five, top four at least. So, but yeah, I think they should expand it to 8. 16, I think that's overdoing it. I don't want to watch that much football, but 8. Let's keep it to 8.
And not to mention that that's going to make more people angry that, oh man, these players are going to get hurt and they're not going to be able to get drafted if we have all these games going on. but you know, anyway, I think that it should be expanded, and I think that it should be expanded to 6 teams, because that's not too many games, and it gives some of the other high-tier teams, like your Notre Dames and your Baylors, the opportunity to be able to play the highest level to potentially compete for a championship. Because I feel like, okay, first of all, not to discredit Cincinnati, I feel like Notre Dame probably should have gotten that 4 seed. I'm just being real here. I think that an Alabama versus Notre Dame matchup would have been a lot more interesting, in my opinion. And but that's just sort of like my hot take. I'm not going to elaborate anymore because I don't want to take too much time. But yeah, I think that a 6-team playoff would be good, because I'm getting sick and tired of seeing the same 2 and 3 matchups for the championship every year. So adding a 5th and 6th team to the bracket could spice things up. Plus, you never know the crazy upsets you'll be able to see. So I think that would make things a lot interesting. So that's my take. 6 teams, at least, if you're going to expand it.
That's respectable.
I don't really have a real opinion on it, because I think that either way they go, there's going to be criticism. And that just goes back just to the setup of college sports in general. It's I'll just say, like, free range, right? So whatever they try to do is kind of just trying to patch something, and there's going to be other ways, because they don't have any regulations that stop these powerhouses really from doing what they're doing, because it's college sports. And that's, we're making college sports something it isn't at this point, because it's honestly bigger. College football is bigger for some people than professional sports. But at the end of the day, it's college sports. And that goes back to the whole thing with bowl games, players opting out. I just want to say, this was my conclusion, is that whatever opinion people have, it's just unfortunate for the sport. That just on both sides, it's unfortunate for the team. It's unfortunate for college football, because these bowl games have been viewed as, you know, historic ends of seasons. And when you have players opting out of the most famous bowl game, the Rose Bowl, you know that things have escalated to another level. And there were some positives to that, is that players are actually being able to make names for themselves now. In that bowl game, we had two receivers really make names for themselves. But what I wanted to go on is something that I pulled out. Basically, every team that had players that opted out. So like Charles said, if you add more games to the season, we could still have that problem. And this year, pretty much every team except Ohio State that had players opt out lost. I'll just skim over it. Pittsburgh lost without Pickett, who was actually watching the game in the stadium. Yeah, it's just a whole different situation we're dealing with. But anyway, Pittsburgh lost. Oregon lost without two of their defensive players. Notre Dame lost without their safety and running back. Penn State lost without their two linebackers, star receiver, and safety. Ohio State won narrowly without their two top wide receivers and offensive tackle and defensive tackle. UTSA lost without their star running back, and Iowa State lost without their star running back too. That's it. And there's more. Basically every team lost. So it's unfortunate for the sport because we get to this, you know, type of postseason that we've made for college football. And this year really was, I'll just say it was boring, because as a fan, you're expecting to see those players. It goes back to the whole NBA resting players thing. You know, it's, again, player priority. That's just what it's trended towards. That's what sports have trended towards, because players are an investment and they're an investment for themselves. But for fans, it's unfortunate. And for the team, it's also unfortunate because you spend the whole year fighting for something and you fight for it and you get there and lose, you know, your top players who helped you reach that goal. And it kind of is left hanging. So either way, what they do, there's still going to be those problems, just because as college sports grow, it's money. It's all about the money, and players and coaches will go to that route always.
Yeah, that's true. It's all about the money. And I think that's the issue right now is a lot of these, actually, I mean, everybody's trying to make like it's a big deal, but some of the bowl games are getting a lot of attention while some of them are not. But these bowl games are still getting viewers. I think the one bowl game on Christmas, I think it was Ball State and somebody, it had like some huge numbers for it during that day. I think it was around like 30 or 40 million. I can't
hear. Hang on a second, Austin. Yeah, what's up? Give me a second. I'm podcasting. Sorry, Gary.
Oh man, that's legendary.
Charles, you could have just muted your mic for that, bro.
Oh god, sorry, dude.
It's all good, man. You're like, awesome. Man, I'm podcasting, bro. All right,
I'm keeping that in too when we edit this. I'm keeping that in.
That was fire, bro.
Austin, back to what you were saying, bro.
But yeah, man, I think for guys, a lot of these bowl games are losing viewership, but some are gaining, or some are still prevalent. But, you know, you still don't have those guys. Like, you know, you ran off a lot of the names, Charlie, right there, where these guys were not playing. And as a fan, you want to see those guys play. But it's just so many bowl games. I'm gonna be honest and be real. It's just so many. You know, you can't watch all of those bowl games. And just from a viewer standpoint, I think some of the bowl games should be cut. I'm not going to lie. Some of them, it's just too many. I feel like, you know, everybody that's 6-6, you know what I'm saying? Okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think you should be 6-6 and make a bowl game. That's just one of my ideas. It's just too many bowl games. Maybe like 7-5 at least, but for you to go 500 on the season, I don't think you should be in the bowl game. It's just too many. At least cut down on some of these games. But I understand it's all about making the money. You know what I'm saying? It's all about making the money, and it's all about that. But going back to the whole, like, the guys that's sitting out, just period. These games have to be incentivized, honestly, for you to want to see some of the best of the best. And I think the only way that you do that is by simply expanding the playoffs. If you want to see the best of the best, you got to get at least somewhat some of the best of the best. And say Ohio State, you know, they play Utah. Chris Olave and all those other guys from Ohio State are playing in that game. Then you get to see a legendary game. Don't get me wrong, that game was still great. You know, it came down to the wire. But, you know, just you want to see the best of the best play. And honestly, you got to do that by expanding it. I say 12 teams, you know, yeah, let the one and the two seed have a bye. Let the three through 12 hash it out. You know what I'm saying? And then you come to an agreement right there and see where you want to move on from there or whatever, or however it works, you know, some way to work around it or something like that to get those guys to, you know, want to buy in or play in these games, because this is going to continue to happen. This is going to continue to be a downward spiral. It's the regular season, bowl season, meaningless. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these games for some guys are meaningless. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't benefit them, but benefits the TV programs and you know, the ones that get the views, first off. And it benefits the programs that, you know, actually get paid pretty good.
And
Charlie, on us.
Oh, sorry.
You can go.
And Charlie, I get your point on that with the bowl season being boring and all that, the Rose Bowl and all that stuff. But if these guys are depending on it or looking forward to their future, I'm like, I get it that you got all the way to this point, and the fact that y'all are there, it hasn't, I'm like, and then not playing that is very important and all that, but I also get why they would sit out though, because I'm like, I Chris Olave and Wilson, they could have played in the Rose Bowl game. It would have been a great game, still would have been a great game, Utah, all that stuff, but I think it's bigger than that though to them, because I'm like they love it. I'm like, they love playing for their alma mater, but I'm like, they want to, their ultimate goal is to go to the league.
I remember you bringing up RG3, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. I just said it was unfortunate for the sport. But going back to RG3 played in a bowl game when he knew he was a first-round pick, mm-hmm. and he actually chimed in on Twitter and said he did that because he understood the significance it had to Baylor. Mm-hmm. We always see Ohio State get in those type of games, but I still, you know, that was still a personal decision that they made. But I see that. Imagine if Chris Olave or Wilson put up Jackson Smith-Njigba's numbers. They wouldn't, I don't think they would be a, you know, just a first round pick anymore. I feel like they would have top 10 potential. They made the safe choice. They made the safe choice. Let's say
I think
that.
I don't know. I feel like this, honestly. For those guys, it doesn't matter where they get drafted. If they know they're going in the first round or the second round, I think honestly, it's like, you know, I could increase my stock here. I could go higher. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I could get more money or whatever, but I don't think those guys look at, you know what I'm saying, if I risk this chance of getting more money or increasing my stock, is it worth more than me getting injured or something like that, or something happening to them? But honestly, I feel like for those guys, it doesn't matter where they get drafted, because they know they're going to be a high draft pick. Mm-hmm. It's honestly just getting in the league and working, you know what I'm saying, and getting that the best check that they can get and showing their skills off. So
I mean, the best check though is those 1 through 10s.
After that, I mean, it is. It is true. That is true. But you use those 1 through 10s and or whatever you call it, but you know, that doesn't mean, you know what I'm saying, that you're gonna be the highest paid quarterback on down the line. You know what I'm saying? You may get this check now, but it may be a second rounder that becomes, you know what I'm saying, the face of the league or something. Yeah. And that gets that payday. Yeah, you may get that payday now, but it may be another guy to come along and get the money. I'm just gonna say, man, look at Baker Mayfield right now. First round pick, what was that, 2017? Wait, first round pick of 2018? Was it 2018?
I believe so, because that's when all those quarterbacks got taken. So I'm going to have to go with 2018 on that one.
Yeah, it was 20. Good job.
It was 2018, right?
Yeah. Yep. Number one pick. Yeah.
Yeah. You look at him, number one pick, you know, look at what he's doing right now. You know, just look at his stats. You know what I'm saying? Well, he threw four picks against Baltimore. Well, no, four picks against the Green Bay Packers this last week, and I think he threw like two more picks this week, or like a pick again or something like that. He has the most since like 2018 with like 53 picks in the league or something like that. I'm just being real, man. it doesn't matter. Like Baker Mayfield is not getting extended this year. His career in Cleveland looks like it may be done. So I don't know. They'll be fools to reward that man for paying him. So I just making a point that it doesn't matter where you get drafted at. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of, you know, you getting the league and performing.
Tell him to come down to New Orleans, but
you want Baker in what? I like Cleveland.
Me and Charlie. No, but anyway. Kind of the like any closing thoughts on this before we head to Flowers.
I want to say just tying it for Southern Miss. You know, Sincere McCormick, in the conference opted out. And that's interesting because usually he had a great career, but usually you see players in Conference USA look with draft potential, seeing those bowl games as potential to move up their stock because they usually don't get those highlighted games. They don't usually get those national games. Mm-hmm. And to see him opt out could set a precedent. I'm not going to say it will, but it does show that, you know, He had made a name for himself, but for him to step out could mean that players at Southern Miss could consider it too. You know, we saw Quez Watkins, we saw all the guys in Southern Miss play in bowl games, but in the future, it could be something that happens at Southern Miss too. It's just a trend, and it's unfortunate for college football, but, you know, as we said, it's in the players' safety that they make the choice for themselves.
Yeah. My closing thoughts to kind of wrap both of them together, honestly, and this is kind of, I just thought about this now, with the whole bowl thing, because I think about Coastal Carolina and UL, Louisiana Lafayette, from last year. Those were two teams that made a big play. They both went undefeated. They didn't have their conference championship due to COVID, but I think about that now. I wouldn't be surprised if group of five players start, draft prospects start opting out, because if the college football playoff committee ain't taking them seriously, why should I take these bowl games that y'all putting us in seriously? So I wouldn't be surprised if more stuff like that happened. But again, to the analysts, don't talk down on these players because they making these decisions, because if y'all had the option to do what these players were doing, y'all would have did it as well. So that's my closing thoughts on this whole situation.
What a bomb to drop there, Kobe. Good grief. I just think that, to Austin's point, maybe bring down how many 500 teams make it to bowl games, unless they just happens to have a bunch of freak wins in their season. But even then, it's like, why should that be warranting making these bowl games? But I mean, that's really about it. And that's it.
Yeah. I think you guys pretty much covered it. So yeah. Go ahead, Kobe.
Yeah. That was actually a long one right there. Probably our longest debate we had on this show, but making up for last week, yo. This is our double disc episode right here.
So. Yes, sir.
But right now we're moving on from our debate. Let's move on into our flower section. So the flower section, for those of you who are listening to this episode for the first time, on this episode, we like to get toward the last segment. We like to give our flowers to current and former Southern Miss athletes who have graced this campus and done amazing things. And if they received honors during the week, we give our flowers, we praise them, we give them their flowers, basically. And last week, we weren't here, Rashad Bolton from the mid
Bolton.
From the
yeah boat is it boat oh my bad
Bolton. yeah Bolden Bolden my bad Rashad yeah. Bolden earned his second Conference USA Freshman of the Week honor last week, since we weren't here last week. He earned it. This is second one. And Coach Ladney, I think he commented on it. He said he's probably going to have more to come in the future. So shout out to him. Also, for this week, shout out to Quez Watkins. in the Philadelphia Eagles, who have clinched a wild card berth in the NFL playoffs. They will be in the playoffs this year. So shout out to Quez Watkins, Jalen Hurts, and all those guys over there too as well. Is there any more flowers that I'm forgetting?
I just want to say we never really talked about this, or I guess never really got the opportunity to talk about this. Ito Smith has been getting signed to some practice squads. So good for him sticking with the grind and getting back into the league. He's with the Dallas Cowboys, your Dallas Cowboys, Austin, as of December 8th.
Yes, who's actually going to win the Super Bowl this year. So, yeah.
Going to win the Super Bowl.
y'all looking stacked over there. I can't even hate them. I can't even hate on
him. Yeah, man.
Y'all looking stacked over there. See,
man. I'm not trying to really jinx it.
As long as y'all take down Tampa Bay,
I'm not worried about Tampa Bay. I mean, look just where
y'all that's what I'm saying.
I mean, we're going to beat the Cardinals. If they see it, well, right now, we're scheduled. I hope
it's in Arizona.
Yeah. No, it's going to be in Dallas. As long as we win this week. Yeah. Against the Eagles, which it shouldn't be a big problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're the 4 seed. The Cardinals are the 5 seed. We'll see them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was about to say, y'all don't have to worry about Tampa Bay. We just saw what happened this past Sunday. So,
yeah, I mean, they barely beat the Jets, you know what I'm saying? And AB, like, man, yeah. I don't know. I would just leave that one alone, bro.
Hey, Charlie, it looked like we're going to have to become Rams fans this week.
Yeah.
Rams. Y'all need a lot of help, man.
I
just gotta ask this question though, man. Yeah. As Saints fans, I'm gonna just be real with y'all. You know, as Saints fans, do you actually wanna make the playoffs right now? I'm just like,
if the Saints win, we get a rematch against the Rams. So yes, I would love that upset. If the Saints somehow could beat the Rams, that would be an ultimate, you know what, the Rams.
I mean, it would. But do you honestly believe that the Saints could beat the Rams with Taysom Hill right now?
Wait. Before you answer that question, Charlie.
Taysom Hill. I love Taysom Hill.
Before you answer that question, Charlie, to answer your first question, Austin, I'm kind of at a crossroads because – at this point, I'm kind of done with this season. I just saw them barely beat the Carolina Panthers this past Sunday.
Yeah, I saw you were there at the Superdome.
Yeah, I was kind of – at this point, I'm kind of done with the season. Whether we get there or not, it's whatever. I'm just getting ready for next year. Hopefully Jameis get better or we draft a quarterback. It really doesn't matter. A lot of people want Russell Wilson to come here, but I don't know what's going to happen with that. But – yeah. At this point, it doesn't matter to me whether we made the playoffs or not. It doesn't matter.
So. Got you, bro. I know Charlie want to make the playoffs. So
I know he do. I know he do.
I've been in this predicament, like asking myself, you know, some of the times, like, do I actually want the Cowboys to make the playoffs just to lose in the first round, or like, you know what I'm saying? When you blow the line, like, we may make it if so and so loses, or you know what I'm saying? So. I've been in that predicament of like, do we just want to regroup and wait till next year, you know? So
honestly, I think this might be y'all best shot to do it this year. When I think about it, I look at them past teams that y'all had. Actually, I think y'all best shot was against when Dak and Zeke were rookies, but I think this year might really be y'all best shot.
Yeah.
But I think this might really be y'all best shot this year though too. So
yeah, we'll see what happens. It just depends on Dak right now. I mean, he didn't look too good against the Cardinals. He got it going in the fourth quarter, but it was not pretty, you know. And I don't know, man. I just honestly wish we can get back to running the ball because that's just something that we seem not to like. And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we get into another tangent, shout out to Logan. before we get into another tangent with NFL and all that stuff, that was our flower segment. And all that too. Any other ones before we get into the outro, fellas?
I feel left out because I don't have a favorite NFL team.
If the Cowboys win this year, you can join the Cowboys, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I appreciate the offer, but I think I'm gonna have to
pass. Oh man, come on, bro. You can't do
Austin, you might be the only Cowboy fan that I actually like, bro. Y'all fan base gets on my nerves, yo.
Yeah, man. I know that feeling, man.
Yeah. So
I'll support the Cowboys for Dak, but that's it.
Yeah. Man, that's harsh, man.
Yeah. So I guess since we don't have any other flowers, let's get it's time. It's about that time. We actually, but another long-winded episode, but that's actually a perk of not actually being on the radio right now, though, too. But anyway, y'all can catch our podcast again on Tuesday. Actually, do y'all want to make the announcement now for the new time slot that we're doing, or sure. Y'all want to save that? Yeah. What? I hear you, Charlie.
Sure. Go ahead.
So when we head back, starting on January 18th, we will be moving to 6 o'clock instead of 5 o'clock. We had to come to that agreement. A lot of stuff got in the way around that 5 o'clock hour. So we will be moving to 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. So catch us on WUSM 88.5, SouthernMissRadio.com, TuneIn Radio app. 6 o'clock, of course, Facebook Live.
That's 6 o'clock Central, by the way.
Yeah, 6 o'clock Central. for those of y'all in the northern states and all that, but yeah. So again, WUSM 88.5, SouthernMissRadio.com, TuneIn Radio app, Facebook Live, the podcasting apps. If you miss it on Tuesday, YouTube, of course. And everything else though too, but again, thank y'all for the support. And in 2022, we got a lot coming for y'all this year. 2021, it was a TV show, but 2022 about to be a movie. So,
hey, I like it. I like it.
But the reality show. Thank you.
Get a Oscar or something. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'm trying to be smooth like you, bro. That's it. But again, I am Kobe.
Charles, not Charlie.
Charlie, not Charles.
And Smooth Austin.
And this, we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and this has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Force up, people.
I'm getting fought by.
3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next week, Tuesday, 5 p.m.